Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine, I am Andy Dawson, pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Welcome along to the Monday episode. Before we start, Sam, just want to say, it's Blue Monday, apparently. It's all over the fucking media again. Just a reminder, Blue Monday is bullshit. Yeah. It was devised in 2005 by Sky Travel in order to sell holidays.
Is that right?
That's true. Yeah. The bloke who actually came up with it for, I think it was either for the ad agency or for Sky Travel, whatever, he now vociferously campaigns against it every time it comes around because he's the architect of it, I saw him on Twitter earlier this morning. It's bullshit. It's like Father's Day and Mother's Day. It's been devised by a company in order to sell you stuff and now it's become part of the fucking the national fabric every year.
Well, you know, it's Blue Monday, so I decided to book myself a holiday because, it was Blue Monday. Duvet day. I saw you tweet about it. I retweeted it, mate, because I thought it was a very good sentiment. It's like, you're doing fine. Don't let fucking marketing pricks tell you how you should feel depending on what day of the fucking year it is.
Yeah, you're doing fine. I mean, like someone replied to me, actually, I'm not doing fine, which is fair enough because not everyone is.
But that's not because it's Blue Monday.
You're not doing any worse than you were yesterday or you will be tomorrow. Do not be fucking affected at all by a fucking arbitrary day in the calendar that's been hijacked by these fucking corporate shills.
It's interesting you should say it because yesterday I started watching from the beginning Mad Men because my daughter, we thought she'd like to see, she's about old enough to see because she just watched that. The improbably brilliant program about chess, The Queen's Gambit.
Oh, right, yeah. Still haven't watched that yet.
Right. It's very good. And my daughter watched it with us and liked it. And it's all mid-century and very stylish, which was part of what my daughter liked. And I said, well, if you like that, the only thing I've seen that's as beautifully art-directed as that is Mad Men, very similar style. So I was watching the first episode of Mad Men, right?
Yeah.
And there's a bit in it where Don Draper, who's, you know, the main geezer, gets up and he's trying to impress his clients who are from Lucky Strike. And they're really up in arms because the government have just clamped down on them making spurious health claims for cigarettes, which until like 1960, they were allowed to actually not only claim they didn't kill you, but claim they had health benefits, right? And so he gets up and he delivers his speech in the first episode, which is really good because he goes, do you know what advertising is about? He goes, it's about happiness, right? Because we live in this uncertain and confusing world and none of us know why we're here and every day's terrifying. But you drive along the road and you see a big billboard, right? And it tells you, all it's designed to do is tell you that you're all right. Okay, you're happy, you're doing the right thing, based entirely on your consumer choices, right? it's all a fucking ruse. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, it's much better the way it was written in the show. Yeah. But I thought, fucking hell, it's such a brilliant satire, and there's so many pricks, probably pricks who worked in the advertising industry, who watched Mam and thought, oh, it's so great because it portrays us so well, it's so cool, right? And what they didn't realise is Matt Viner, or Viner, or whatever you call him, who wrote it, who used to write Sopranos, who I interviewed him and John Hamm when the series first came out, right, about what it was about. And they were very clear from them, it was a searing indictment of advertising, marketing, and late 20th century consumerism and capitalism, right?
Yeah.
And the terrible people, mindless people who were behind it, right?
Yeah.
And you know, we're now seeing at this stage, and that's basically what you said in your tweet. It's like, listen, this is just being made up by some cunt in an office who's getting paid. He's doing it for no other reason than he's been paid for it, right? And And, you know, we're reaping the fucking... We're reaping what we sowed now, or what they sowed, because, you know, the deep fucking psychological, emotional and social impact of all of that shit is present everywhere. It's all about fucking mental health crisis. Half of it's because of fucking advertising, stupid adverts. Do you know what I mean? The weight of them. The weight of them. And none of them creatively are any good, but the sheer scale of them, the amount of money that's put into bombarding your fucking mind and consciousness with them, is what makes you feel fucking insecure or makes people feel insecure or uncertain about the way they're living their life every fucking day.
Yeah.
And lose sight of what it is that actually does influence your happiness, which is, you know, a lot of times just the stuff we talk about really on this podcast. I mean, we've got no agenda other than to say, you know, just rest, have a cup of tea,
live out loud.
You know, think about ghosts.
It's hard. Is it hard to live out loud and just rest at the same time? I've been thinking about this. Can you live out loud and just rest?
That's a really good question.
Or do you alternate between the two?
I think if you see me and I'm like on my... Look at it this way. If you saw a picture of me, if I sent you a picture, I might do this one day. And it was me on my sofa on a Sunday, just in my tracksuit or dressing gown, big massive bowl of peanuts, right? Maybe a Heineken Zero or just a big pot of tea, right? Feet up, and I'm watching the football or a film, right? And I've got loads of players, and Nelson's on my lap, and I'm just stroking him with one hand, and I've got a fistful of peanut. I got my fist in the peanut bowl, right? And when I say peanut bowl, mate, I'm not talking about a fucking little bowl. I'm talking about like the sort of bowl you'd use for mixing a cake in.
Yeah.
You know, one of those ones.
Yeah.
You would look at that and would you say I was living out loud or I was just resting?
Well, there you go. It's that sweet spot, isn't it? You're straddling
it's
both ethoses at the same time. Yeah.
If you just rest enough, if you put the... I mean, we're always saying, what do we always say you should invest in? Comfort.
The comfort market.
The comfort market. If you are resting properly, then you are living out loud.
Yeah.
If you are resting in a half-hearted way, like you haven't put any effort into your rest, any thought into it, then no, you are not living out loud.
Yeah.
You're just resting half-heartedly. What we... I like to feel what we, you know, urge people to do on this podcast, our philosophy, if you will, is to make an effort about resting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where I think the two, in the Venn diagram, living out loud and just resting, that's that. There's the
rest,
overlap, isn't there?
Rest out loud.
Is rest out loud. New t-shirt, mate.
That's the ultimate kernel of what we're trying to do here. Rest out loud.
What I'm thinking, a Venn diagram fucking t-shirt.
Wow. Yeah, there is it.
Living out loud, just rest. Overlap, rest out loud. It says rest out loud.
Rest out loud, yeah.
I mean, I rested out loud this weekend. Fucking loads, mate. I mean,
so you just try to sell something there on the back of
a t-shirt,
your speech
yeah.
about consumerism. Also, as well, just before you go on there, because I know you've got something to say. Before we go on, any adverts that are in this episode at the beginning, middle, end, or sponsor reads that we've done, they're okay.
Ignore them. No,
they're fine because we've vetted them. Isn't that right?
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, but we're not doing the messages, right? We're the victims of a system, yeah?
Mm.
It's systems that control everything, okay? With this, well, luckily, I tell you what, we've luckily fucking hacked the system because time was, when this podcast started, we were 100% dependent on ad revenue, right?
Yeah.
Now, ad revenue, thanks to the kind patronage of the IFS community...
Mm.
Ad revenue is no longer the bulk of our income, but it is part of it, right?
Right.
We are not actually... The ads, if we do a read, we've vetted it. And I think, have we ever turned down a sponsored read?
No.
Probably not.
I don't think so. I can't imagine why we would.
But the ads that go at the beginning and the end, they're not endorsements. They're
not
endorsements.
They're just ads.
That's people hanging on. That's people paying money to tap in to the audience and the popularity that we have created.
Right. Even the ones that we read out.
The ones we read out, you have to accept that we are in some way endorsing. Yeah.
Okay. What were you going to say? You had something you were going to say and I interrupted you. Do you remember what it was? It was about resting out loud. No.
Rest. I didn't have anything massive to say other than that I did rest out loud all weekend. I can't say I had a cake bowl full of peanuts, but I did have some peanuts. Mm. I've got a new teapot in a lovely bright yellow.
Right, nice.
Which I made good use of through the weekend.
Did you need...
Watch West Ham win. Watch two Bill and Ted films with Len back to back. Bogus Journey followed by the new one. Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Is it good, the new one?
It's all right, yeah.
It's all right. Okay.
Well, if you rewatch Bogus Journey, which I did yesterday, probably hadn't seen it since it came out of cinema, you think, God, this is a bit shit. This is a bit of a shitty cash-in, right? And then, by comparison, Face the Music is sort of all right, because you usually think, with most film franchises, they go down in quality by degrees, don't they, from one to the next, usually. So you're expecting a big drop-off for this one. There'd been about 30-year gap. Mm. But it's all right, mate.
I just discovered the sitcom Two Doors Down. Are you aware of that?
Oh, yeah.
No. BBC Scotland sitcom, BBC Two. And people have been talking about it. It's been a low-level kind of hum about it for ages, and I never watched it, and I watched it on Saturday, and all four series of it are on iPlayer, and I'm now rattling through it as quickly as I can because it's fucking brilliant. It's it's like three households of neighbours, and they all end up invariably congregating in one household. You know, there's always an everyman character who is the heart of the piece. Yeah. Well, there's a couple in that, and one of them is Arabella Weir, who was in The Fast Show.
Oh, yeah, great.
Does my bum look big in this, lady?
Yeah.
And then it's also got Dune McKeon, who was in Green Wing and
Smack
the Pony and Brass Eye. And then Elaine C. Smith, who was Rabsy Nesbitt's wife. So you've got class acting talent.
That is a great
and
cast,
the
mate.
The scripts are fucking brilliant. It reminds me of The Royal Family, but with loads of jokes chucked in.
Right.
In terms of the vibe of it.
I'll definitely watch that.
Oh, what an endorsement. Honestly, it is so good. Two Doors really? Down. It's all on iPlayer. Get into it now. I don't
watch
know why I
kids.
Didn't before. What?
Watch it with the, can you watch it with the kids?
I'm watching it with my boy who's 13.
Yeah.
I reckon that's probably about the right age for it. Anything younger
I
than
tried
that?
To, on Christmas Eve, we tried to make the kids watch a... We were watching Christmas specials. So me and Len loves Only Fools and Horses. So we watched To Hull and Back.
Yeah.
Right, the one where they sail to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Right. And buy diamonds. And then we watched the Blackadder one. And then I tried to get him to watch a Porridge one, which he was not that into. And then in the evening, we tried to get him to watch Royal Family Christmas Special, who are one of the most consistent Christmas specials. Like, they did loads and they were all fucking good. But the kids just were like, because they were like, with kids, that's why I'm thinking about for the when you say it's like Royal Family with jokes, because what I realised was the fatal flaw in the Royal Family is there's no laughter track or jokes.
I this is an unpopular opinion. I don't like the Royal Family.
At all?
I don't like it at all, no.
Oh.
I never got it. I never got into it, or I never got it maybe from the start. I kind of got what they were trying to do.
Maybe because it lacks gags.
Well, it's a comedy show, but there's no gags in it. Do you know what I mean?
Nah.
And I thought, I loved Caroline Ahern, other stuff. Mrs. Merton was brilliant. Janine in The Fast Show and that supermarket checkout woman. Fucking brilliant characters. Yeah. I've forgotten her name now, but Roy's wife when they're on the train. Brilliant characters.
Oh, yeah. What did I say?
Yeah.
He said you can shit through the eye of a needle.
I just always thought the Royal Family was just lacking. And I thought that some of the characterisations were patronising. And also, Ricky Tomlinson's character, I grew up around fellas like that who were like mates' dads, and they were cunts.
Yeah. Oh, he is a cunt. Yeah.
They were cunts, and I'm like, nah, not into it. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's why I love Two Doors Down so much.
But I suppose, I can see totally what you mean, and it's certainly like open to that kind of criticism, especially the patronising stuff. But I think it comes from a warm place, and just some of the dialogue where people are like, low-key being such cunts to each other is what makes me laugh about it. But anyway, my kids are with you, mate. Hopefully they'll prefer Two Doors Down instead, because we're running out of sitcoms to watch together. Well, they love the American one Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They have American ones on the whole. Brooklyn Nine-Nine is very funny, though. I mean, yeah, it's a great one to watch with your kids.
Yeah. There's lots of swearing in Two Doors Down. There's use of the fuck word quite regularly. Mm. So, you know, it's up to you.
Yeah, it's not too bad. But Len was saying, said to me on Saturday, I think it was Saturday, he's going, yeah, so it's amazing the sort of names that are illegal to call your children in some countries. And I went, what? Why do you know about that? He goes, that's just something I like look up quite a lot on the internet because, you know, it's basically a fun thing to think about and read about, isn't it? And I said, I don't know anything about it. And he went, yeah. Like, for instance, if we'd been in Australia when I was born, yeah, and you, for a laugh, had thought it'd be funny to try and call me dickhead, you'd be in jail right now.
And then it'd be like, the dickhead.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not sure whether calling your kid dickhead is something you can be sentenced for, a custodial sentence for in Australia, but Len claims it is. And then he goes to me, I mean, I should really look this up. He goes, yeah, it's amazing. Like, he goes, you'd think it was just things like Hitler or racist words. He went, but it's not. He goes, you know, there's all sorts of mad things. He went, I mean, the worst for it, New Zealand. And I went, what? And he went, yeah, I mean, in New Zealand, there's about 100 different names that are illegal.
Wow.
I haven't looked this up. I should do it now. But yeah, it turns out that's his hobby.
We'll take a little break, okay, and then we'll come back after the break and see what we've got.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that'll get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Right.
Full of banned baby names.
Wow.
Yeah, there is a lot.
A full list of banned baby names from 2018 I've got here. Lots of variations on the word royal. That's weird. Also,
yeah. Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Avaya Royal, Duke, Emperor, Gunner, Heaven Princess Star. What's the matter with that?
Justice.
Hunter Rouge. This
Judge.
Is the 2 in Roman numerals and 3 in Roman numerals. But, although, interestingly, no other numbers in Roman
above.
Numerals.
Just 2 yeah. and 3.
And you can have 1, and you can have 4, 5 and upwards. No 2 or 3. Justice, Judge, Justice, Justice. Oh, a lot of people trying to make out their judges. King.
Major.
King, yeah. King David. Lee Royal.
King David's all on one
minute.
Word.
Wasn't he the lead singer of Imagination?
Lee Royal. Yeah, but he had an extra E on the end, though, didn't he?
He had three
E's on it. That's how he got around that. He changed his name. He added an extra E in order to be able to perform in New Zealand.
Have we ever talked about how Imagination doing body talk, I think, but you're the expert because you've seen more than me, but I think that's the greatest single Top of the Pops debut ever.
There's two that I can think of. There's that one, and there's Wham doing Young Guns Go For It.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
is that the leather jackets?
Yeah, we'll come to that because the Imagination doing body talk is incredible because the costumes that they're all wearing are fucking pornographic.
And also, Lee John, like, I always, when I see people making debuts on Top of the Pops, like, I saw something when there was that brilliant jazz funk documentary last year. Do you remember that? I think we talked about it with Rodney
Payne. BBC 4, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and they showed, one of the things they showed that, but I think probably, or I've seen it on another doc, you'll have seen it, when Freeze did Southern Freeze, and it was like, it was like one of those things where they go, oh, it was completely out of the blue. One of those stories, they go, completely out of the blue. We didn't think it was going to do anything. Then we got a call saying, right, you've charted and you're needed at the BBC. You're going to be on Top of the Pops. Mm. And the lead singer goes, oh, my God. I was like, I had to get, I was pissed and really stoned. And I had to quickly, like, borrow some clothes off a mate. And you see her. And she goes, when you look at it now, you can see I'm really nervous. And you're watching it thinking, oh, God, she's really nervous. And you hear other people say it and you think, everyone's got the same story. The first time you go on Top of the Pops, especially if your success has come overnight, you are shitting yourself because you're on a show that you've watched your whole life. Suddenly you're on it, right? And the nation's watching. And that's, I think, oh, it must be so tough to make a debut. And then you see Lee John and you think, this is his debut. And someone's gone, fuck me, Lee. You're on fucking Top of the Pops. What are you going to wear? And he's just shrugged and went, psh, fucking leopard skin cat suit. What? That was a bit of a quick answer. Well, yeah, because I fucking know what I'm going to wear, don't I?
I bought it ages ago. I knew this was coming. It's in the wardrobe.
Yeah, I bought this fucking 5 years ago, mate. Don't worry about that. And I'll probably have some sort of headband on. And what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to play the keyboards, but I'm going to look into the camera side on, like I'm sort of making love to the keyboard. On your debut, on Top of the Pops, watched by tens of millions of people every Thursday night. Yeah. No, don't mind, mate. Don't worry about me. I've got the whole fucking thing planned out. All you need to do, mate, is fucking tune in and watch, right? I don't want to give too much away, but I tell you, it's going to be a bit fucking special.
And then, in the last minute of the song, the drummer is going to come out from behind his drums that he's been miming to, which, of course, this is the conceit that they're playing live. You know, they're playing their instruments.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to think, oh, they're just miming. He's going to come out from his drums and just come to the front and start clapping his hands really slowly while we're all writhing around.
Just writhing. They're all just writhing.
It's just writhing,
in amazing clothes and really pouting right up to the end. It's like, to me, it's the ultimate all right cunts ever, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God, we're on Top of the Pops. Yeah, that's right, dickheads. Get ready for this.
Yeah.
We're about to blow your fucking mind.
I mean, we need to really do, we'll revisit the 50 greatest moments and do an additional 10 or something that we forgot about.
I know, because that should have been right up there. I mean, you kind of think as well, what makes it extra funny is it's off the back of punk dominating Top of the Pops for quite a few years, right?
Yeah.
And you got all these sort of quite weird, like sort of scruffy, angry white blokes who can't really play the guitar, who are all trying to act tough. Everyone tried to act tough, didn't they?
Yeah.
Even the ska bands and everything, everyone's a bit tough, everyone's a bit of a geezer. And then suddenly Lee John's like, all right, cunts, I hope you're ready for things to get deeply sexual. Basically, Prince must have been watching. I mean, I know Prince was still already flying by the stage that song came out. But there must have been some fucking crossword. Prince must have been over and thought, fucking hell, look at this cunt. You said, I never thought I'd see any cunt who was as sexy as me. But I tell you what, this cunt comes close.
I think that was about the time Prince was already wearing like lingerie and heels and a raincoat, like a Flashers Mac.
Oh, yeah.
At the time.
I think, is it For You or Prince where he's wearing like a thong?
Yeah,
underneath a raincoat
Prince
and some heels.
Dirty Mind or Prince, wasn't it? It was one of those two, one of the early ones. But and the other fantastic Top of the Pops debut, I think, is Wham doing Young Guns Go For It, because I think I'm pretty sure they got called up at the last minute because some of the cunt had dropped out, and you know they were local, so they got the shout and they went along, and they just did this. It was almost like swing off West Side Story, this incredible choreographed thing they did. With all the moves and the hand claps and everything. And it looked as if they'd sorted it out in their garage. You know what I mean? They choreographed it in their garage. And they just went on Top of the Pops and fucking did it. Here we are. Here's this entire routine.
Yeah.
Get it up the charts, you cunts.
They've been fucking doing it for ages because they were mates since they were kids.
Yeah.
They've both been, They'd both been practicing all these dance routines in their garage for years in fucking Watford. Well, and funnily enough, Andrew Ridgeley never once throughout this suspected that George was gay.
Really?
If you read his book, he sort of
I had no idea.
I had no idea. I mean, he was my mate. Sometimes it's true. Well, most of the time, when we did get together, I'd be like, what do you want to do? And he would usually say, let's go in the garage, get dressed up like bikers and practice some disco dancing routines. And I'd go, well, you're a mate. If that's what you want to do, let's fucking do it.
Sounds like fun. I mean, I assumed if he was gay, he'd have been hanging around with other gay blokes. I never knew. It never crossed my mind.
I mean, fair play to him. I mean, I didn't draw any assumptions from the fact that all he wanted to do was choreograph disco routines. That.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's something to watch on YouTube later on, isn't it? Where are we at?
Yeah. Are they wearing are they either wearing leather jackets? I'm sure there was one where they wore those denim jackets with the sleeves cut off.
Well, I mean, they did loads of Top of the Pops appearances.
We should get
they?
Denim jackets with the sleeves cut off for our next tour.
For our live show. Were there names on the backs?
Oh, yeah. In but rhinestones.
I mean, we don't want to give it away, but we've got costume ideas. Yeah. I'm looking at, yeah, George is wearing, it's a leather jacket with the sleeves cut off and nothing underneath.
This is what's happened, right? They've gone, right, first debut on Top of the Pops. What's it going to be? Obviously, it's the same choice that always faces people in our position. Is it either a leather biker jacket or a denim jacket with the sleeves cut off? It's one of the two. And George has gone, hold on a second. I've just had a fucking moment of inspiration, you cunt. How about this? Leather biker jacket with the sleeves cut off.
It's the Venn diagram
gone,
again.
George, that's why you are who you are. That is why you are the true genius and the driving force behind this band. Because no other cunt would have thought of that. Right, get cutting the sleeves off that fucking jacket. Shirley, get your scissors out.
Bring me scissors. Bring me tailoring scissors. But I'm looking at it now. They're doing like these choreographed dance moves where they're like pointing and moving around, and they've got they're all in unison, they're all doing it together. Then there's the back and forth bit where George and Andrew are having an argument about the girl and everything, and they're just they're doing acting as well. It's fucking great considering this wasn't in the charts. It wasn't the Wham Rap had been out before, so it wasn't their first single, but they're just fully formed pop stars.
Yeah, and they're not like, they're not, when you see bands that do all that dancing and sort of more theatre, usually they are bands who've come from some sort of theatrical background.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you got people like your fucking Take That or your Spice Girls or any of those sorts of acts. They've all come from stage school, right? Whereas these are just literally two lads. They used to just go down the pub in fucking Bushy and Watford. They used to just hang around down the pub with each other. Yeah, they would go to discos and that, but they're just a couple of fucking geezers. But they fucking come fully formed. They're like, if we're going to... I think George Michael's attitude to everything was, listen, if we're going to fucking do this, we're going to do it fucking properly.
Yeah.
Right? We're not mucking about. If we're going to be pop stars, we're going to be the best fucking pop stars.
Yeah. Well, that's it. There's like some people who get inspired by seeing what's already around, and they just look at it and go, well, fuck it, I can do better than that. So they do, and they just get on with it. And
yeah, because let's be honest, right, they'd grown up in a punk era. I read Andrew Ridgeley's book. It was good. It wasn't as great. The best Wham book is the one written by their manager. What's his name?
Simon Napier Bell.
Napier Bell, yeah, that's the best Wham book.
The China thing.
Yeah, but it also tells like the whole story.
Right.
And it's got that should have been a great British moment as well, that moment where they have to land the helicopter due to bad weather and they don't know where they're landing. They just come out down through the clouds. They're on their way to their record label doing a conference in Bournemouth, and George really doesn't want to go because they're massive. But Simon Napier-Bell's gone, look, you've got to go. Mm. You've got to go. These are the cunts that pay our bills. You've got to go. And he goes, all right, I'll only go if they pay for a helicopter to take me there so I can go straight in and out, turn up, shake some hands, fuck off again. So he goes, all right. So they send a fucking helicopter and pick him up from Battersea. And they start flying down to Bournemouth where the conference is, but it's really bad weather. So they start shitting themselves, and the pilot says, "I'll have to fucking." They're going land, and he goes, "I can't land because it's cloud. I can't fucking see down." They go, "As soon as you see a gap in the cloud, just fucking land through it." So he goes, "All right," and it's like that, and they're fucking. They see a fucking beam of light in the distance and they're going, "Head for that, you cunt." So he flies over and he sees enough of a gap in the cloud for him to be able to see down, work out he's not going to fucking accidentally land on a shopping centre or a fucking, or the sea. So he sees it and they just think it's like a park. So they come down through the cloud and land and they're fucking, their hearts are in their mouths, they're shitting themselves and they're just catching their breath. Then they look around and go, "Where the fuck are we?" And they get out of the helicopter to have a walk around and catch their breath.
Yeah.
And someone goes, "Where are we?" And then they hear this distant screaming. And they look up and all these schoolgirls are running at them. And it turns out they've just accidentally, by chance, landed on the fucking playing grounds of a massive all-girls boarding school at the height of Wham Mania. And these girls are all sat bored shitless in their fucking maths lesson. And they've heard this, fucking sound, looks out the window, go, miss, there's a helicopter landing on our fucking playing field. Teacher's gone, "Don't be so silly." They go, "No, there is, miss. Who's on it?" "Oh, they're getting on now." "Fucking hell, it's Wham." So all the girls come running out and George and Andrew jump back on the helicopter and go to the pilot, "Fucking take off your gun. We're going to get fucking lynched here." And they're going, and the pilot's going, "Make your fucking mind up. You were shouting at me to land a minute ago." They go, "Never mind that. Fucking get us back up.
I'd rather die."
That is a great book.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think George Michael probably was like, you know, if you think of punk, there was quite a lot of shit around, right, in the punk era. And they'd had to grow up through that. And George Michael's probably looking at it. He's growing up listening to fucking Marvin Gaye and Stevie Wonder. And he's like looking at all this shit and the charts. He thought, fucking hell, they're taking the piss this lot, aren't they?
I think with George, though, I think he was like a massive student of all music. Because there's a bit of, there's a clip that's on YouTube of him being interviewed on some show, and Morrissey's one of the other guests, and they're talking about stuff that's been released that week. And there's a new book about Joy Division by Paul Morley, and George gives this perfect critique of it, and he also talks about how much he loves Joy Division's second album, Closer, whereas Morrissey just waffles on like a fucking airheaded twat. Those roles that you think have been prescribed to those two characters are completely reversed when you watch
that. That's beautiful. Yeah, well, Morrissey's a lot like Boris Johnson in that he's the kind of bloke who has a persona that he's adopted that tricks people because he sort of has a demeanour. So although I'm not saying their demeanours are the same, it's the same thing where he goes, "I'll use a certain type of language that will baffle people into thinking I'm a certain sort of guy." Mm. But if you fucking try to drill down even a little bit, they fucking panic.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah, because there's nothing there.
Where George Michael, he had the courage of his convictions. But I do know that clip. That is a fucking classic clip. I'd forgotten about it.
Yeah, I'll try and remember to tweet it.
You probably shared it on Twitter years ago. That's probably how I know it.
I'll try and remember to tweet it. And I'll try and remember to tweet, what was the other one? Can't remember now. There's also another good clip of Dave Lee out of Slade. From when Slade Mania's at its height, and he's showing this reporter around his new house, the massive house that he's bought with his Slade money, and then it turns out it's next door to a girls' school, and he's like, I had no idea. Yeah, right, of course, mate.
Fucking nonce.
Fucking hell. That's about it, I think, for this one. We'll just quickly go over the prediction league results for the weekend.
6 points for Delaney, I think.
Yeah, I got 2 results, but got 4. You got 9. You're on 68. I'm on 49. Results, bots on 45.
You're skipping over that a bit quick. It's because I got that thing that we hardly ever get, which is I got my own team's scoreline correct.
1-0 against Burnley, yeah. 6 points for that. And results, bot got 3 for it as well. So there you go. You're now 19 points clear at the top. Long way to go. I just need to start results locking in and predicting Sunderland.
Results bots fucking phoning it in this season, isn't it? We've hardly heard from the cunt.
He's only 4 points behind me now. So
I know, but he's not been up to his shenanigans. I think he might have pulled a Danan and gone into rehab again.
Again. Well, the thing is, it seems to be away wins seem to be the thing this season when there's no fans. seems to be a higher number of away wins, and he's a 1-0 home win kind of droid. Mm. So he's flailing a bit. But I mean, that just goes to show
badly
I'm doing.
What more could go
wrong
for that cunt, though? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we haven't heard from him for a while. Mm. Worrying stuff. Anything else you want to add before we wrap this up?
No, I'll just give you a couple more news. You know, just like my son had a secret hobby that I never knew about, which was researching band names in various countries. He correctly identified New Zealand as the leading country in name bands. And I'll leave you with a few more that didn't pass it. Princess Dixie Rose, Prince, Queen, Rogue and Royal. There you go.
There we are. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.